In a world where preteens travel in groups of three because they can't even, and Texas teachers can't tell the difference between clocks and bombs, two women continue to pass the Dutchie on the left-hand side without starting digital jihad. Autobots, roll out!
Here's the buzz from everywhere. The secret bees are on the air. Take a break from your reality. Just don't mention bestiality.
They're called little people.
Secret bees.
Jenny with an I and Jenny with a Y.
Secret bees.
They'll rule the world and make it great.
Secret bees.
So pour a drink and they'll educate.
Secret bees.
On Twitter, Facebook, social media. Facts from Wikipedia.
We're geniuses.
It's based off our names.
Hello, and welcome to When We Rule the World podcast. I'm Jenny with an I.
And I'm Jenny with a Y. And today we have very special guest, John Bailey. You'll definitely recognize his voice from all the voiceover work he does as an actor. And thanks so much, John, for being on our podcast today.
My pleasure, ladies. I'm so glad to be here.
We're very glad to have you and all of your voices.
So how many voices do you do, John? Seriously.
1 million voices.
I believe it.
I believe that. Have you ever... You're like Mel Blanc.
Actually, back in the... You notice my Skype name says the man of 1,000 voices. I actually did count up to 1,000 like 4 years ago, and now I've totally... Because they keep throwing new actors' names at me. Can you do so-and-so? Sure, why not? I have no idea how many I can do now.
Wow.
I'm in awe. Obviously impressed, and I was so excited when
I don't have money, but what I do have is a particular set of skills.
We are looking forward to your skills. Thank you for being on the show, and we're going to ask you a question that's not on the list of questions that we sent you because we just want to mess with you. I know. Just, you know, this is a little silly, get to know you kind of thing.
It's like an icebreaker question. Are you ready?
Oh, is this sponsored by Icebreakers?
Icebreakers, break the ice.
No, but
it's Icebreakers sales from that. Just.
Okay, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. If all drinking fountains could dispense another liquid in addition to water.
Pee.
I didn't even get out. What would you want it to be? Pee.
I want to make all the women of the world happy, coffee.
Coffee.
Yes.
You know what? Speaking of, we are drinking coffee right now.
Spice coffee, of course, from Starbucks.
Pumpkin spice. Pumpkin spice everything. So, did you know they have pumpkin spice flavored Listerine strips now?
Doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, pumpkin spice. Also, pumpkin spice.
Pumpkin spice scented diapers now, too.
Mm-hmm. Along those lines, pumpkin spice condoms.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
We discovered that today.
Today was very interesting. Yeah, I love Twitter.
Makes sense. You would think they would just have flavored lubrication rather than condoms because...
They have that too.
I always thought the same thing.
To suck on the condom, just saying.
It's pretty gross. I agree.
It seems really, really dumb.
Especially if your face is allergic to latex. And then you kind of... You don't want to call the hospital with that. No.
I had an allergic reaction to a pumpkin spice condom.
A pumpkin spice Trojan. Trojan makes them.
Yeah. Ew.
Ew.
That's gross. So John.
My face.
I have another one.
Okay.
When this is very relevant. Now we're getting serious. Okay.
Be
for
serious.
Okay.
When people find out what you do for a living, what is the most typical question that they are likely to ask you regarding your job?
What cartoons have you been on?
Is it really?
Most of the time, yeah.
Yeah, and...
Usually the question is, like, what? Like, what have you done?
Yeah, what have you done?
But most people just automatically assume, oh, cartoons, that's the only job you do when you're a voice actor. I've done thousands and thousands of jobs. I can't even count how many I've done anymore. I know it's over 2,000. I know I've done over 200 movie trailers or TV promos type, you know, trailers in general. But I've done movie trailer, I've done TV promo, I've done an audio book, I've done documentaries, I've done commercials, both character and announcer type stuff. I've done the voices for toys. for video game characters, for animated characters, just nothing in a network animated series yet. I'm still working on that one. I'm also sound-alikes for many actors in a lot of different jobs. And obviously the movie trailer voice. I think that's it.
Yeah, it's a lot. I was doing some research and I'm going, I quit. I can't even. This is so much.
I can't even.
That's kind of how it was. Which audiobook did you...
It was by the guy who trained the snipers that caught Osama bin Laden and killed him.
Called the Red Circle,
and it was my very first one, and they gave me... the long story short is that in the audiobook industry, usually you get the book months ahead of time, so you have time to read out loud. God bless you for whatever it was. You get the book way ahead of time, so you can read it out loud several times through, so you're familiar with the material. And I got the book like 3 days before we recorded it. Read it through that fast. I was reading on the plane and fell asleep before I had a chance to even finish the first two, three chapters. And it's a military book full of foreign countries and cities and places that were obviously not in English. It was very much read like stereo instructions sometimes with all the hardware that they... You know, so when I finally did see feedback from people, they said, well, the narrator obviously doesn't know anything about them, too. I'm like, well, duh. I only had three days to read ahead of time. We were literally spent half our time waiting for somebody to tell us how is this pronounced.
And
we were just winging it. So we couldn't get a hold of the author. And yeah, it was, but considering most people were like, I still think you did a pretty good job. So most of the feedback was fairly positive. But it's called The Red Circle, if you ever want to hear how badly I did it my first
time.
The reason why I did one is because so many people asked me for advice about voiceover work. And they were like, what do you think about audiobooks? I'm like, well, I've never done one. So I figured I would do one so I actually have a response. And my response is, you can have it. I don't want to do that again if I don't have to.
Oh, you wouldn't do it again?
Well, I'll put it to you this way. It took a week reading it straight through, and the last day we read straight through it for 18 straight hours. Yeah, I could do a lot of other jobs in 18 hours.
For real.
That is a lot.
So it wasn't a good use of your time then.
I mean, it was okay for the pay, but man, I really had to work for it.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Because I like to read to my kids out loud, and I do all the voices. My husband does not do
That's
the voices.
It's a great thing to do, and you want, especially for people who want to be voice actors. Like, what are some things I can do? Read to your kids. Read out loud.
Yeah.
Different voices.
Yep. So I do all the voices, and I'm working on this book right now. And one of the girls is British, so I was like, how do I do that? Because I have terrible accents. Like, they're terrible.
You do have a terrible accent.
I know, right? Yeah.
It's a Chicago accent, and that's just how it is.
Chicago.
I can't even help
Chicago.
It.
Chicago.
You got the great hot dogs, though.
For real, yeah.
I will say this. If you're interested in becoming a voice actor, accents are the best that you'll get with accents is video game characters, because a lot of characters in video games have so many different accents. And because most games are shooters and they take place in other countries, or the soldiers within them or the characters within them are spies or soldiers or their government, but they're always from somewhere place other than America. And for some reason, American speaking people prefer people that are from America doing foreign accents rather than somebody who's actually foreign doing their own accent.
Well, yes, it's because we can't understand foreign people doing accents.
The BBC, whenever they have somebody from America, they always sound like they're from Dallas.
I've noticed that.
So it's the same way. 2K Games, who I've worked with several times, actually did a session with them today. And they actually sent some of their guys over to Germany to find some actual Germans. They wanted their game to be as real as possible. So they found trying to find some English-speaking Germans. So they recorded them, came back, and let their beta testers play the game. And the beta testers didn't believe they were really from Germany. They said, this sounds so fake. So they got Americans to do German accents. It's like, oh, well, that's what Germans sound like. So that's just,
That doesn't surprise me at all. That
shows our stupidity.
Because British accents, there's a couple of different ones, right?
It's the same. England is the same thing as America, as far as it's broken up in accent. I mean, you don't just have south, east, west, and you have northeast and different areas in northeast. You know, New Jersey sounds different from Chicago, sounds different from New York, sounds different from, West Coast, sounds different from, the middle of the state. And then you got those New Englanders up there,
Uh-huh.
And, so in the South, there's four or five different accents in the South.
Yeah.
In Tennessee, you have people that say tar instead of tire. But in Arkansas, they say tire instead of tire.
and it's tired, hard, and torn, and tired. It's just all over the place. And then my daughter, I don't know what accent my daughter has. She says, the lots are brought tonight. I'm like, what accent is that?
That sounds like Boston.
That's not, no, the lots are brought tonight.
And where are you?
I'm actually in Memphis. I'm technically 1 mile from the border between Tennessee and Mississippi. I live in DeSoto County, which is right below Memphis. But Memphis is basically where I've lived most of my life, so I just say Memphis.
Okay.
If you tell them Mississippi, they assume way down in the Gulf or in the middle of the state. So
yeah, you can't do that.
Yeah, you have to be close to a major city for somebody to get a regional.
Mm-hmm. That's why I tell people category. I'm from Chicago. I'm not exactly from Chicago. I'm like the suburbs, but
exactly.
I just say Chicago.
Right.
From the burbs, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, from the burbs. And yeah, we always get made fun of whenever we have guests because, you know, we apparently have a really strong Chicago accent, which I don't hear.
I don't hear it.
I mean,
honestly, from first listen, I thought both of you are from the West Coast because that's how you guys sound.
See?
Well, but that's, I was kind of doing that because you were doing it. And okay. So I just wanted to keep doing it because it's my favorite. And my sister is from California, and so I make fun of her. Well, actually, she's not. She just moved there, but she started talking like this, and I'm like, really?
In 4 years, I've only heard one guy that actually said, dude, what's up? Where do you need to go today? You know, he's the first stereotypical Californian.
Yep. Surfer dude.
Yep.
Yeah, no, most of them, they don't. But yeah, we do. We get made fun of by our guests, but I'm like, you know what?
Most people, they hear a little bit of the Southern slips in every once in a while, but I've been doing this job so long, it's just not very strong. So when people find out that I am from Memphis, they're like, what? No, you're not. You don't sound anything like somebody from the South.
Yeah, because you can literally make your voice sound like anything.
Kinda, yeah. But it's the running, I say running, and, you know, the I's tend to be ah instead of I. It's just a little bit soft.
Oh, yeah.
It only slips out every once in a while. And I've been doing this job for almost, since 2009. So
how did you get into doing voiceover work?
I swallowed a magical unicorn. No, I
want a magical unicorn.
my wife was busy making me a MySpace page. That's the social network thing.
Yes, I have heard of that.
Saw it in a antique store.
Do you still have a MySpace page?
No, I do not still have it. anyway, so she was making a MySpace page because she was busy being pregnant and home and bored. And I was at work and she was like, you should check out this thing I made for you. It's so great. And I was like, oh, social networking is stupid. It's never going to last. I was totally right, but
yeah.
Anyway, so that was the first time they actually did pop-up ads based on keywords. That was the first kind of like keyword thing that they did. But they were asking, what are your interests? But technically, whatever you wrote in there, they were going to make ads to pop up based on the words that you put in that box. But she did put in voice actor, voice acting, voice over, voice space over, and anything that did related to voice because she knew that I had been interested in it for years. And I did voices to impress her family so they wouldn't hate me, you know, just to make it
nice.
Something I used to get in trouble a lot in school. And impressions I used to do of other people that I worked with just to get them in trouble with the boss and call people up to go pull an order from the other end of the building and cancel after they finally got it and came all the way back. just pranking people, drive through voices, calling orders that I would mess with people over the phone, that kind of thing. But she found an ad that popped up. She said, look, the studio actually has a location in Memphis and it says they're looking for talent. I was like, yeah, it's probably just a scam, sweetie. And she's like, well, the worst thing to do is say no. It's only 15 minutes away. What have you got to lose? That was like the best advice I'd ever gotten. It's literally, what would I lose from trying out, you know?
Yeah.
I was smart enough to know that it's like, now all you need is not $2,000 in your you know, social security number and you can get started today.
Right.
But I went in and recorded for them. It was at the end of the year, so I did a Nightmare Before Christmas poem with a different voice for each page. And they were just blown away. They're like, can you come back and record a demo? I'm like, yeah. In fact, they told me that they didn't have scripts there that would actually work with just to show off what I could do. Would I be willing to write some of my own stuff? So half of what I wrote actually was mine, not theirs. Wow. And they signed me the following January and they sent me out my first audition on February 1st. And by February 11th, I'd booked my first gig. It was a whole campaign for a East Coast restaurant called Texas Steakhouse. And I think I did 3 TV commercials and 2 radio commercials. And it was more money than took me 2 or 3 weeks to make in my current job, full-time job.
Right.
I did that.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, thank you. That was non-union. Can you imagine how much that money that would have been if it had been a Screen Actors Guild?
Well, yeah.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
Anyways, so I did that part-time for the first year or so. And then the company, I was driving a forklift and the company went bankrupt when the economy collapsed.
Oh.
And when we came out of bankruptcy, all we had our location closed down, even though the business itself stayed open, but they closed several locations and I just happened to be in line when the dominoes fell. So I had a little bit of severance and I had a little bit of 401k money and that was it. And we had unemployment and that was what we lived off of. And I was like, what do you want to do now? And she's like, well, we could try the voice thing full time. You've only auditioned during the morning. Mm-hmm. What happens if you auditioned all day? Because there's a lot of stuff you haven't been able to try out for. I was like, well, that's a thought. We could try it for a month or so. So they closed down at the end of December, and right after the holiday in January, I started auditioning full-time. And by almost the exact same time that I booked my first gig in February, somebody online had found a video that I'd made on YouTube doing different movie trailer voices. He's like, hey, I think you have a lot of talent. Would you mind training the scripts? I was like, yeah, sure, whatever. And when I got them, they were the real thing. And the whole thing felt very identity theft scammy to me. And
oh, no.
Yeah, so I actually created a second banking account just in case they were after me, because they were like, we need a copy of your license, copy of your social security card, blah, 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 blah. And come to find out, they were legit. And they sent me a huge check that had more than I'd ever made at the previous company. And he said, I think you have a lot of talent. Would you be willing to sign with me? I've never managed anybody before, but I think that you have a lot of potential. And I had a voiceover lawyer look over the contract. And he's like, this is a great deal, dude. You should take it. So I did. Wow. And I increased my income by 30-something percent every year for the first 3 years, and now I'm making over six figures a year just doing voiceovers.
Dang.
So, yeah, and done tons of cool jobs. I've worked on Star Wars. I did some Star Wars toy voices and the voice for their toy commercial campaign, and worked with some great channels like Fox ADHD, their animated shorts, and just a little bit of everything. It's really good. Done some McDonald's commercials and...
Whoa.
Pretty awesome.
Goosebumps.
You were the
right
big,
now.
Yeah,
I totally did. I was just like, oh, that's such a great story.
You said McDonald's,
story.
And we were like, you made it, man.
It was not McDonald's that did it, but that's funny.
I did Sandler's voice for the Hotel Transylvania Happy Meal commercial, and I did one other one that was kind of Snow White-ish.
How long have you been married?
We just celebrated our 15th anniversary in June.
You are just like right along the lines with us. We were both 16 years.
The two of you are 16. You don't sound 16.
I know,
no,
right?
No, no, no. We've been married. We've met to each other, to our spouse.
I was going to say, you've been married to each other. That's a whole different conversation.
No.
Pixar didn't happen. What?
Although we continually get confused as lesbian couples, which is kind of funny. So, you know.
Yeah, we do.
All you have to have is boobs.
We're that good of friends.
Exactly.
They're going to automatically assume.
Right.
And, you know, I think it's more like wishful thinking. It's not an assumption. It's just
it is. It's still like vicarious thoughts of men being like, oh man, it'd be so odd if those two were taking a bath together.
Yeah.
So, and then you have kids. So how many kids?
Four children.
You have four children? No wonder your wife is freaking out.
Yeah, my oldest turned 14 in June, and my second born is autistic, which is why I'm a huge, that's not the right word for it.
Supporter
of autism awareness. And he will be 13 in December, and then the third born will be 10 in December, and then the last one will be in 1 month. She will be 8 years old. So,
wow,
they all have three of them have birthdays at the end of the year.
Wow. Oh, that's so hard.
That is hard.
And the weird thing was, I mean, we were just days away from everybody having the same number and their birth date as they had as they were born. My son was one day away from being born on 12/12. I was 3/3. My daughter Kaylee is the only one that has the same number. She's 11/1, so they're all ones. And Destiny, the oldest, was one day away from being 6/6, and Tyler was 2 days away from being born on 1/1. So everybody would have been very, very close to being born on their day and month. That would have been easier to remember.
Yeah, really.
You're like, I just know that it's close, so we're just going to celebrate it on this day anyway because it's easier.
That's pretty much what we do anyways. Like, we're not doing it at Christmas, so.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, since you're in a time crunch, we're going to skip around and I'm going to ask you one of the questions that I really want to know. I know that according to the stuff that you have online, you loved Transformers and you love Peter Cullen. So have you had a chance to meet him? A
couple of times, yeah.
And what does he think of your Peter Cullen impression?
I'll give you the short version. He told, I was asked by the guys at Sac Anime to do an intro for him. Apparently he was booked for an hour, but he only technically had 30 minutes, not an hour. And so they were trying to fill in the 30 minutes so people wouldn't realize they'd been waiting so long. So Chris Gore was going to be his announcer, moderator, and he was going to come up and do some stand-up comedy first or whatever. And they were going to do this intro. And he's like, can you make it a 15-minute? I said, a 15-minute intro? Are you kidding me? That's forever in video time. I said, I may be able to stretch out to five, but that's going to be hard. And he said, well, whatever you do at the end of it, you have to do the Optimus Prime voice. I'm like, dude, that's like the most insulting thing you can do to the guy who created the original voice is to do it back to him.
Yeah.
And unless they specifically asked me to, which right. he had once before, which I'm sure he'd forgotten. But when I first met him, I was like, you know, I got started in voiceover because of you. You inspired me to become a voice actor. And I started at as a five-year-old doing Optimus Prime's voice. And he's like, well, what does that sound like? So I actually did it for him. And he was like, oh, that's great. Come here and give me a hug. But then when I did this intro for him for Sac Anime this past year, the first thing he said was, well, that intro was really long. And the only thing I would agree to at the very end of it to do the voice, I said, the best thing I'll do is I'll say, you know, transform and roll out. And that's all I'd be willing to say. He's like, oh, that'd be perfect. And he's like, he does a really good Optimus Prime voice. But then afterwards, he wasn't too thrilled. I think he may be under the assumption that I'm after his job, which I'm totally not. I would rather work alongside him than work in replacement of him. That would be crushing to me as well as millions of other fans.
Now, he's got an amazing voice. And you have
such a small guy. He's got that great, huge voice, man. He's only like 5 foot five, six.
Wow. See, I've never seen him standing. I remember
well, the pictures that they take, he's very long-waisted, but very short-legged. So the pictures you see taken with him, it's always from the waist up. But when you see him like side by side from foot to head to foot, he's a very short fellow, but he's big. He's big on the inside to me. He's always been a hero of mine. Wouldn't have been doing this job without him and my wife and my grandmother. That's my support and inspiration all bundled into three people.
That's awesome.
That's very awesome. So this is your full-time job now.
Yes.
Are you part of the Screen Actors Guild? Yes.
Well, technically it's SAG-AFTRA now because it's Screen Actors Guild / AFTRA. So the two unions finally combined.
They combined. Okay.
By their powers combined. Yeah, so it's but AFTRA was mostly video game type stuff, and SAG was mostly, you know, movie and whatever stuff. So, but unfortunately for me, I haven't really booked a lot of stuff that pays residuals or anything. So far, nothing's really changed much.
Okay.
As far as like being in the Screen Actors Guild as opposed to not being in it, except that the pay is better.
Okay, good.
Well, I mean, that's a good change.
Yeah, there's a standard minimum thing.
Right.
It's like an understood rule that you don't talk about numbers, but it's a decent amount as opposed to non-union stuff, which it could be, you know, $5 these days. They can pay whatever they say they'll pay.
Sure.
And unfortunately, there's so many people that are just, they want so badly to be a professional voice actor, quotes around professional, that they'd be willing to take any amount of money just so they can say they got paid to do a job so they can say that they're a professional. And that's not necessarily what professional voice actor means. Professional means the quality of your delivery, if you're a good actor or not. And there's a lot of factors involved. There's probably a few out there that are professional voice actors that haven't got booked a paying job yet, but they're very good voice actors. So everybody has to start somewhere. But I hate the fact that people sell themselves short on these non-union sites just so they can say, I'm a professional now, you know.
Yeah, that's not right.
So then if you want to be a voice actor, should you join the guild first?
Or... Good luck with that.
Right, okay, you have to have some kind of portfolio right?
No,
right?
You have to actually have done three SAG-eligible jobs. And the best way to do that is to be an extra in a film. Usually 3 days of extra work will get you eligible. But yeah, you have to pay your dues, which is huge, several thousand dollars. And you have to make at least $30,000 a year before you're even eligible for insurance, which has really great insurance. I have just been, I've been a very rare case. I consider myself very blessed because as soon as I joined, I was already making enough, actually more than enough, with just union work to actually qualify for health insurance right away. So I was just really like, wow, thank you so much. I hadn't had insurance in years. And it's not only is it insurance, it's really, really good insurance.
Well,
so it's like $340 for every three months for a family of six.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, full coverage. And yeah, I haven't had vision and dental in a long time. I usually just had bare minimum coverage, and that was, you know, 7-8 years ago.
Did you guys all go and get everything checked out as soon as
we were eligible? We started going to the doctor and be like, man, we need to get vaccines and we need to get
glasses
checkups and glasses and teeth worked on and the whole shebang. Yeah. So, anyways, but yeah, that's just one of the benefits. But yeah, it's very difficult to get in, especially just via voiceover work. It's very difficult to get in the union that way. I've heard several people tell me that the way I got in was very, 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 very rare. I was literally just doing jobs that were SAG eligible And once he said, look, we should get you in the Screen Actors Guild. I'm like, oh, okay. Okay. And he signed me up and he's like, you're in. I'm like, well, that was easy. He's like, well, it's not normally easy, but you've been doing SAG eligible jobs and you already have enough to qualify you, and you're already making enough money where you can actually get insurance. And I was like, well, man, that's that easy. I should have done it a long time ago. And then I found out from other friends, like, man, it took me years.
Right. Wow.
So yeah, to become a professional, yeah, you don't necessarily have to just be, okay, I'm going to go into SAG right away. You should definitely have, you should have some things under your belt. You should have some experience of some kind, even if it's just online or if it's community theater, any kind of stage type stuff. Most people that get into cartoons, at least, they've gone to some kind of acting school. Okay. But at the very least, community theater of some kind. You know, it could be professional theater or community theater, or it could be, you know, working at a radio. I have a lot of friends that got into it from radio. Mm-hmm. They were working free for college radio, or they were working as an intern at an actual professional station, something like that. But they've all had some experience or another. It's not one of those situations where I have an amazing voice, I am going to be a voice actor, and boom, they're a voice actor. It doesn't work that way. There's always more emphasis on the acting rather than on the voice part. Because so many people today make two mistakes. They say, I've been told I have a great voice, I should be a voice actor. Or I've been told I do great impressions of cartoon characters, I should be a voice actor. Both of those are incorrect.
Okay. So what's correct?
Should be a great actor.
Okay.
Being a great actor is good for a voice actor. That's why you see so many people from television and cartoons. And Andrea Romano hires almost all on-camera actors for all the Warner Brothers animated stuff. The other thing is doing impressions. Why would somebody want to hire you to do the voice of Daffy Duck when they currently have somebody doing the voice of Daffy Duck? Only when they retire or die or get sick or retire, you know, there's only a couple of reasons why they need to replace or recast. But it's very insulting to the person who does the original voice if you're like, hey, I can do that voice better. You're basically saying, I can do that voice better than you can.
Oh, jeez. So exactly.
You would not want to put, this is the voice of you know, Maurice LaMarche's character in my demo, because you're basically saying, hey, Maurice LaMarche, I'm better than you are. They should hire me over you. So, yeah, I never, ever volunteer doing voices for professionals that I know, you know, especially not their own characters, unless they specifically ask me to. Rob Paulson he's very, very cool and laid back. And he basically said, okay, now do Mo. Now do so-and-so. Now do so-and-so. It's like, dude, this guy can just replace all of us.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. That's funny. So what are your favorite characters or impressions that you're allowed to do that you like doing?
A long time ago, I bought this Lincoln automobile, and I drive it even though people don't pay me to. Sometimes I just need to take off this shirt off and show off these abs, you know what I mean? All right, all right.
All right, all right.
We love to make fun of him.
And you notice, Seth, he has two distinct voices.
He does.
There's pre-Oscar Matthew McConaughey. There's like, hey, guys, what's going on? Just got the regular old Southern boy, you know. And then all of a sudden he wins an Oscar and everything sounds like it's existential. And why are we even here in this universe breathing this air?
Why are we wearing clothes?
Exactly. Gosh.
I couldn't breathe. I had to like pull away because I was going to cackle, and that would have been really awkward. Because, like I said, I love making fun.
I stopped bathing years ago, so this helped repel hot women because I'm married to myself.
Did you know that he does not wear deodorant?
I've heard. I have a feeling that's a repellent for people to be like, Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, nice to meet you.
Oh, that's clever. Maybe that is what it is. He's like, all right, arms go up. Everybody's like, oh, no.
When the zombie apocalypse happens, nobody will be able to tell if I'm a zombie or still alive. Smell. I'll blend in with the walkers.
I do Optimus Prime's voice really. I've been working on that one since I was five, so right. I should have more practice on that one than any other ones. Christopher Walken's one of my favorite because it's just something that makes it. And there are certain characters that I don't do on purpose because so many people are like, oh, I can do that one really well too. Is because if you say Mickey Mouse or if you say Bugs Bunny or Jack Nicholson, there's always, everybody thinks they can do those voices. So even if I could do it better than they can, which most of the time I can't, I'm not going to do them in front of other people because I don't want people all saying, oh, listen to mine. Mm-hmm. So unless I can do it really, 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 really well, I stay away from them altogether. But
no, Christopher Walken is just one of those voices. It's crazy. I just do it all day. I only do older Walken because it's so much more fun. I mean, come on, that's crazy.
Because, you know, the younger Walken, he's so much higher. His voice was way up here.
But now, you know, not just another notch on your old belt. I mean, come on, it's crazy.
I actually have friends, professional voice actor friends, and instead of talking about themselves at their own panels, as a guest at other conventions, will call me on the phone. It's like, John, don't say anything. Just talk like Christopher Walken, and he'll just hold the phone up to this microphone.
Look, hey, you can't just call me up all hours of the day and night and expect me to be your voice monkey. I mean, come on. You got to start paying me eventually.
Oh, that's good. I think I like yours better than Jay Moore's.
I've actually heard several times people like, man, yours is better than Jay Moore's is.
See?
Jay Moore's is pretty amazing, though.
And until I heard yours, though, I mean, Jay Moore's is like the best I've heard.
Well, I try to stay current, and I think a lot of people are still doing younger Walken.
Mm-hmm.
But I prefer the older one whose voice tries to give out a little bit. I don't know why. I just think that one's funnier because
it's just so old and funny. I don't know why.
Yeah, I saw him in an interview with David Letterman. And he was saying like the most normal things, but everybody was still laughing.
Uh-huh.
Even though he was just talking about just like average. It was just because the way he says it is so hilarious. And he's like, so Chris Walken, you're Chris Walken. He's like,
yeah, you know, I saw my name up in the theater on the big screen, Christopher Walken. It was so long. It looked like a train. So I shortened it down to Chris Walken.
Those exact words. He thought his name looked like a train.
Oh my God,
okay, that's why people are laughing. That's not normal. Who the hell says that? The dude is like become a parody of himself. Like he is.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. But
and I think sometimes I think he's aware of it, and sometimes I think he's just like, why are you laughing? It's not because he was like, I hear you're a big fan of the outdoors. He's like, oh yeah, I love the outdoors, the walk in the woods. I got a cabin, you know, trees.
People were just dying laughing. He's just talking about trees and cabins and woods, and he's not making jokes.
He's like, why are you guys laughing? I'm just telling you about my cabin in the woods. Zach,
he's the Walking Dead. I mean, come on.
So, John.
Yes.
Do you have any projects in the works that you can talk about?
For the first part of that question, not for the second part.
Nothing that you can talk about.
I can tell you that I've done two different sessions at Universal for the upcoming film Krampus.
It's a
very dark comedy, Christmas comedy. Think Gremlins, but darker, if you can imagine.
Oh my gosh.
Darker than the first Gremlins film. Old school practical effects. You will hear my various voices are in the film, but I won't say what I've done. You'll just have to watch it and be like, I wonder if that's John.
I will do that, yeah.
The other thing is something official for one of my favorite franchises that I also cannot talk about. I can't even hint about this one. So basically, it will be an online thing. It will be an official thing.
Okay.
As soon as I find out what I'm allowed to say, what I'm not allowed to say, I will tell more information about it. But
all right.
She can go to my YouTubes and keep updated with all my amazing things at youtube.com/JON3PNT0. Or just look up Epic Voice Guy. It's pretty easy.
Awesome. And we can do that, and I have been doing that, and it's hilarious. What are your favorite YouTube things to do? Do you like doing? I know you do the Screen Junkies, the Honest Trailers.
I honestly prefer doing the character stuff. I work for several different. I've done stuff for How It Should Have Ended. I've done stuff.
Yes.
Cartoon Hooligans, Fox ADHD, all those guys. I get to do characters for, which is always fun because sometimes they're bad impressions on purpose, or they're just brand new original characters I get to come up with myself.
Cool.
One of the most child-destroying things I've ever done was Honey the Bear, which is a Winnie the Pooh parody. I did not Tigger, not Eeyore, and not Winnie the Pooh, the fake versions of the characters. And Depressed Donkey, which is what Eeyore's name is.
I am going to go look this up.
I can't wait.
I'm on a ditch and broke my fucking leg.
He's asking the other creatures to shoot him in the face and kill him because he's going to die anyway. So it's so sad.
Oh my God, I cannot wait to watch that. That's going to be amazing.
I hope you're probably
use the mic. That hurt. I laughed so hard. That hurt. That's never happened on the podcast.
No,
before.
I haven't. Your face is very bad.
I fucking love Eeyore, and that just made me laugh so hard.
He's just depressed Optimus Prime, is all.
Exactly. That's what was so funny.
The two different voices side by side. Autobots transform and roll out. Autobots transform and roll out.
That's all there is. One's sad and one's not.
That's pretty great.
That's really great. That's really, really great. That's my favorite so far.
You should hear my Winnie the Pooh.
That was good.
That's really
good. I've been waiting to do it. I normally keep my personal channel very family friendly, but I'm one of these days going to bite the bullet and do 50 Shades of Pooh.
Oh, God.
Suddenly, Christopher Robin's erection sprang free. Holy cow.
And Piglet was scarred for life.
I also thought about breaking Pooh with Heisen Pooh and Jesse Pinklet.
Okay, you really got to do this.
That's brilliant.
You really got to do it. You should get the Heishi guys to animate it.
You know, I always love a good Heishi. You can find some Heishis down at the Kmart. Tracy Morgan and I'm pregnant.
Oh my gosh, my face hurts. Stop making me laugh.
This is a normal thing when I do an interview. It's always faces and heads hurting from laughter.
Uh-huh.
So does your wife appreciate your impressions?
Not at all.
If she's having a bad day, she's like, can't you just rehearse in your head? I'm like, well, if people could do that, everybody could be a professional voice actor. But the reason why is because once I find a voice that I can do, I will literally do it for 20. I won't even speak in my own voice. I'll talk that way for 24 hours.
When I first started doing
Robert Stack's voice, who was the original host of Unsolved Mysteries.
Oh, yeah.
I just walked around talking like this all day long. And she's like, what do you want to go to eat lunch? I'm like, I think I want to eat lunch at Subway. Eat fresh. And she's like, would you stop?
I don't want to eat lunch with Robert Stack. I want to eat lunch with John. Shut up before I punch you in the throat.
Pretty much. It was more like hit you with a frying pan, but you're pretty close.
Yeah. Well, see, I thought, you know, threatening the throat, that would be the worst threat.
She knows that's her bread and butter.
That's the moneymaker right there. Literally.
Not enough to damage.
The shape
just
your mama gave
irritate.
You on the next edition of Unsolved Mysteries.
God, I love that show.
I did too.
You sound just like him too.
Yeah. That was my jam every afternoon after school was Unsolved Mysteries and Rescue 911.
Yeah, I used to watch those two shows with my grandpa, like at night in the summertime when we could stay up a little bit later.
Yep.
It was great. So how did you get involved working with Screen Junkies? Like, did they contact you?
I've been doing movie trailers for a while, but I'd been doing YouTube since 2007.
Okay.
And I made this video. It's the same video that my manager had first found. Where I did all my favorite movie trailer. The official version is these were all my favorite movie trailer voices. The unofficial version, but these were the movie trailer voices that I knew I could do.
Okay.
And so I wrote a parody trailer with a different genre built into each section so I could switch between voices. And I did Tom Kane, who does all of this stuff like Pixar's Up and Harold and Kumar's Christmas Vacation or whatever he did. And then there was... Bone Weaver, who always does these weird Discovery Channel things, like the apocalypse, Doomsday Preppers. It's a two-headed snake was already on board. And then there was Hal Douglas, who does a lot of romantic comedies. This summer, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. And of course, the obvious was Don LaFontaine, the guy who created the Inner World. So I would just like switch through. And there was also Ashton Smith is the current Don LaFontaine, and you can tell it's Ashton because at the end of every sentence, he goes down like this, Iron Man. So I would switch between each genre of film, and my first manager found that video and got so many views that it kind of boosted its way up to the top of search engines on YouTube.
Oh.
And after Don LaFontaine passed away, that's how my manager found me. He was looking for a Don LaFontaine sound-alike. So had I not gotten enough views and not put those keywords in there, I would never have been discovered. But then Screen Junkies found the exact same video. And it's like, oh, this guy's really good at movie trailer voices. And then luckily for me, I put my website in the link of the description. When he went to my site, it takes about 2 seconds to realize, wow, this guy does this for real. And I have one page that's nothing but thumbnails of movie trailer posters of movie trailers that I've worked on.
Right. Wow.
And he contacts me and is like, dude, your trailer stuff is amazing. I would love to have an official movie trailer voice for the voice of Honest Trailers. Have you ever heard of it? I'm like, nope.
Right.
Well, I mean, at the time, they weren't as big, but they were still pretty big. But I just didn't watch a ton of YouTube stuff. I really just kind of only did some of my own dub stuff and just kind of played around with YouTube. I didn't know you could make a career out of it for sure.
Right.
And he's like, well, here's a couple of what we've done. And the one thing I noticed was the writing and editing was really, really strong, but the voice just wasn't as strong as the other two, you know, parts of it. Because it's all about the writing, the editing, and the voice.
Right.
And it seemed like that was the weakest part was the voice because it was funny And it did sound, it was a nice deep voice, but it kind of sounded very repetitious. It sounded like the same read over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, well, this is actually really funny. And he's like, would you be willing to work with us? I'm like, yeah, sure, why not? It's on the internet. Who's going to see it, you know?
Right. Only 6 to 20 million per exactly. video.
So when we first started, Lord of the Rings was my first one. And I'd only done real movie trailers before. I'd never really done parody trailers before. Mm-hmm. Never even thought of that, to be honest. If I had, I would have been doing them on my own channel a long time ago. And so he was like reading it through. And he's like, dude, this sounds way too. And the first thing we got in the comments, he was ecstatic because he's like, man, this sounds like a real movie trailer. But then the comments were, this sounds too much like a real movie trailer. And they didn't want that. They wanted it to sound like a parody of a real movie trailer. So After about the third or fourth, I think it kind of started clicking. Where it's like, oh, I'm making fun of my own self. I get it now. And at that point, it was just kind of clicked together. And now they kind of let me just kind of do my own thing. And they'll nitpick here and there, but for the most part, it's very good chemistry between us, because sometimes I'll pick up things that they didn't, or I'll remember something that they hadn't thought of, or maybe just a fresh, you know, hearing something that you wrote down rather than just hearing it in your own head. Maybe it sounds differently or whatever. Sure. So I improvise a lot as well, and sometimes they'll use it, sometimes they don't. So it really is a team effort, but the majority of the strength of Honest Trailers is in the writing, and they do their homework. They watch through the movie over and over and over again. I think poor Spencer had to watch After Earth like 5-6 times.
Oh,
poor guy.
Oh, geez.
Green Lantern too, man. Just brutal job. Avatar: The Last Airbender. Imagine having to watch that over and over.
Oh, that movie was so bad.
It was so bad.
I'm so pissed about that.
The TV show, so good.
So good.
The movie, so bad.
Fucking M. Night Shyamalama Ding Dong. That guy pisses me off.
My 7-year-old loved it. And see? I actually kind of liked it. I was like, but it's not nearly as good as the cartoon. Come on.
The cartoon.
My 5-year-old
liked
it.
They ruined the ending of that movie. The one that was in the cartoon.
I know.
So better.
So, yeah, we love the show, the cartoon. We love the
twist.
What's the twist? Aang's not really an
that's
airbender.
That's why I went into The Visit with very low expectations, but I was pleasantly surprised at how much better it was than his previous movies. I was like, maybe there's still hope, or maybe this is like Fox Days of Future Past, and then coming out with Fantastic Four afterwards.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. I think the Fantastic in Fantastic Four.
Bad. It's naughty. You're a naughty fan. Then I've killed it.
Oh my God. Chris Farley back from the dead. That was beautiful.
Great. That was great.
I'm not dead. I just changed forms and stuff. That was pretty awesome.
So that guy in a little coat. Let me hear it. Can you do it?
Oh, my gosh.
That guy in a little coat. That guy in a little coat. Hey, Richard, is this your... Uh-oh.
That's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Oh,
I love Tommy Boy. Oh, my gosh. That was really good. This is going to be the weirdest podcast for our listeners, because we just spent the whole time laughing.
When I did at the last convention, I think they recorded for like 3 hours because they just kept coming up with funny things to say. And they're like, we don't want to stop recording. We're afraid we're going to miss something.
Uh-huh. Well, that's what happens when we have someone as talented as you. We're just like, this is so great. Just go ahead, carry on, whatever you want to do. It's great. It's so great.
So I do have one question, though.
Sure.
It's like, the majority of your work that you do you do it at home, or do you have to travel?
I do it at home.
You do? Okay.
I'm in my booth right now.
That's why the quality sounds so amazing.
It does.
That's accurate.
Yeah. Okay.
I converted this as also a toilet, so if you want me to flush it for you, I will, but it'll take a while for it to finish. It used to be my house was too small to have walk-in closets, which would have been perfect. Walking
so
closets
Christopher's not in there.
Walking closets are so great for voiceover, because you don't have to even pad them. They've already got clothes that'll absorb all the extra noise for you.
Perfect.
But I didn't have any. All our closets are super, super tiny. I don't think I could even get into one unless I completely stripped it down and knocked out the wall between that closet and my kid's closet on the other side.
Right.
So my half bathroom was the only room that was not too big and not too small in order to put a booth in. So it's still a functional bathroom, but it also functions as a studio as well. So.
That is so interesting.
So the toilet was not a joke.
No, it's not a joke. It's right here. I swear.
All right. No, it's cool. I believe you.
Oh, I hear it.
That's what I'm sitting on while we're doing this.
I was just going to ask you, is that where you sit too?
That is where I sit when I do these. And I also have this just in case. It's for those really hard to reach spots. Just in case.
Wow.
It really clears out the poop.
A lightsaber enema. How'd you like that?
One of those fancy ones too.
Because I film
my personal video, I film my reviews and my gameplay videos in here. So I've got one wall's got a green screen. All the walls are padded. One wall's got a green screen on it. The shelves next to the toilet have all the consoles on. I've got some amazing consoles. I have something called the Retron 5 that plays six different types of games.
Oh.
It plays Game Boy Advance, Game Boy Color, Famicom, Super Nintendo, Nintendo Genesis, and so it's like you can play any of the old school classics on it.
You know what? I think I have the same thing.
Yeah, it's really really
out.
I think we do.
I've never heard of
it. The 360, the Xbox One, and the PlayStation 4. So I'm in PlayStation 2 because it plays one and two games. So I'm pretty set on consoles. I can play pretty much anything, and the Wii, obviously.
Yeah, obviously. Well, I mean,
that's appropriate for the bathroom, so good. Yep. Good on you.
That's so cool.
I call it the wee wee.
Exactly.
Well, that's cool that you get to do your work from home.
I call it the wee wee wee.
Oh dear.
So let's see. We've talked about your social media. You have your YouTube channel.
Other social media. It's pretty easy to find. Epic Voice Guy on Instagram and on Twitter. Just at Epic Voice Guy. On Facebook, it's a little bit different. It's John Bailey VO. It's just not too hard.
And you have an actual check mark there, so good on you.
I'm verified.
That.
Woo!
Yeah.
Woo.
With Twitter, what the hell?
Three of my accounts is verified.
Yeah. So
well, my YouTube's verified as well, but I'm only maybe 500 subscribers away from 100,000, that first big check mark. So.
Cool. Well, I think I subscribed, but I don't remember. I don't know.
So I
maybe at least two more.
Once I figure out how to actually log into my YouTube, I will subscribe. Jeez.
Baby, bye-bye. Bye-bye. Sorry.
I thought this was my client. That was
John,
my phone.
John, we're going to let you get back to your wife.
Wash your body. Bath time's back. All right.
That was great.
Bath Street. Like,
All right.
Mm-hmm. We just have one final question for you, so your wife won't hate us and you can get back and have some kid time.
Eight.
So if you ruled the world, what would your first decree be?
My first decree as rule of the world is a new sexual position called the John Bailey, and everybody will be doing it John Bailey style.
Oh my goodness.
Wow.
Well, it's an otter.
Everybody has to have an otter.
You'll see in my diagram.
Oh, dear. Now I'm just imagining this.
I love it.
With the otter and everything.
That was brilliant.
That was probably the best answer we've gotten.
I think it was.
Yay, winner.
No joke.
Achievement unlocked.
Bing.
So now I guess what I'm going to do is go watch a whole bunch of these Honest trailers.
That doesn't help me at all. That helps the guys who make Honest trailers.
No, you have to go to his actual YouTube.
But I'm going to do that too.
Oh, okay.
Epic Voice Reviews. I see, along before Honest Trailers came along, I thought it would be funny to actually review films.
Yeah.
In a style of a movie trailer with the actual movie trailer with one of the movie trailer guys. So it's super short reviews, my actual opinions of a film that I've watched or TV show or whatever. And and then the other ones are called imitation gaming videos, which are very fun for people who watch gaming videos because I'll take a character and play their own game. So I've done Marcus Fenix playing Gears of War. Then John Madden playing John Madden. Boom.
I did playing SpongeBob.
Oh my goodness.
Thing, and it's always fun because I basically could do any voices from the game, but within their own game. So it's better than, to me, it's something different than a lot of my friends who like Brizzy Voices or McGoiter, who do just stand in front of a microphone and they put a picture of the character that they're doing the voice for and they do it a bunch of characters in a row. And this is all the characters from The Simpsons, but mine, you actually get to watch me badly play through a game while doing the characters. And it's not as easy as it sounds, by the way.
No, it doesn't sound easy.
And playing through a game, and they're very difficult. And right now it's Horrorama, so we're doing a lot of horror-related stuff. So I just did Ghostface playing Until Dawn, Sydney.
Oh my gosh. Oh.
What's your favorite scary movie?
Scary movie is my favorite scary movie.
She doesn't like scary movies.
I like scary movies.
Oh, I love scary movies when they're actually scary. Then sadly, we live in a day and age where horror movies are horrible and not horror. It's so sad.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
Aww. Well,
Until Dawn is so bad. Until Dawn is every stereotypical horror movie ever made.
Mm-hmm. It's true. I was going to throw in one more question because I'm interested. What are your future plans? I mean, do you have any, you know,
I want to move the family to LA, and I want to book some network animation because I think that'd be amazing. I've already got some great game credits. I'm currently working on XCOM 2, which is going to be a huge game. And I'm also recorded for Dishonored 2, which I've heard is a really big franchise. And I personally hadn't heard of it before, but a lot of my friends from Smosh Games are like, oh, dude, that game's huge. So hopefully that'll be a big thing. And and then this other thing that I can't talk about yet, which will be online, but actually sponsored, that hopefully also will be a really big thing too. So anyways, until then, I'll just keep doing whatever I'm doing with the Heishi and how it should Cartoon Hooligans and Fox ADHD and everything, whatever I can get that's character-based stuff, because I don't want to be typecast as just the guy who only does announcers.
Right.
Oh, yeah, that I could see that happening because, you know, that's how
most people are super shocked. They're like, wait, that was you? I'm like,
yeah. Who said that?
Yeah, I actually did the music video for Black Keys for Howling for You. Howling for You. Sorry, it's apostrophe after the no howling. And it was made to be like a movie trailer. And they played it at the Grammys that year, and a lot of people thought it was going to be a real movie, but it was actually a movie. It was actually a music video. Chris Mark Pallera was the director for that, and he contacted me. He's like, dude, I'm looking for somebody who could do something like the Machete voice. And I sent him the trailers that I actually did for Machete. He's like, holy crap, you actually worked on Machete? That's so yeah, that's me in the music video saying, she's howling for revenge. She's howling for you. So.
That is so cool.
And if I assume one of you is a Transformers fan, correct?
Yeah, that's me.
Well, you'd be shocked to find out that one of the movie trailer, there's been two different voice actors from Transformers that are actually movie trailer voices as well. Peter Coleman, obviously, and especially in the 80s, was very big in movie trailers. The last thing I think I heard him on was Somewhere, Miles from Anywhere, Someone is Searching for the Way Home. This year, Lost in Space. And I bought the whole DVD just because the trailer with his voice was on it.
Yeah.
But also, the voice of the Machete and the Grindhouse stuff, that's Corey Burton, the voice of Shockwave, believe it or not.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Mind blown.
For real?
Yeah, really.
Reals.
So hard to believe he went from doing this to doing this Machete.
Wow. That's crazy. Has been so informative, too.
It's infotainment.
Really?
It's for the best reals. Ever. The best. I've learned so much. Oh, my gosh.
I have to take my little purse dog to the bathroom, so I need to get out of here.
I know. I really appreciate you being on the show. And we just
no problem, my daughter.
Thank you so much. So we just want to tell our listeners, don't be lazy.
Don't be selfish.
And enjoy your poops.
And only have one foot.
I only have one foot.
Over. There you go.
It's 1 foot over.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's beautiful. It's because our husbands always take the joke.
Yeah, we're joking, we're laughing, we're joking, ha, ha, ha. And then they say something in crickets because it was too much. And you're like, there's the line. You stepped over it.
Man, stupid.
1 foot over.
That's like my mom every time she tries to tell a joke. Hey, I heard this great joke in Reader's Digest. Why did the chicken cross a road? I'm like, I don't know why. Well, I think it was something about the chicken, and then it was she cannot get a punchline out to save her life. It's so bad.
Oh, mom!
Mom's
like, maybe
funny.
I can find the book and I'll mail it to you. I'll cut it out and mail it.
Clip it out. You get this envelope full of these.
You know, 2 weeks later, she calls up
before you even started.
It was because they wanted to go to Walmart.
I know.
And you're like, what the hell are you talking about?
So funny. I laughed at it for like 2 days straight. Now I can't remember what it was.
Uh-huh. It's the joke I was going to tell you 3 weeks ago.
Moms are funny.
You really are. Well, thank you so much, John, for being on our podcast today. Maybe we'll see you in LA when you move there because we're moving there
too.
Oh,
yeah, we're totally moving.
Sure, working. We ought to get one of those Big Love family places, just buy a condo somewhere.
We can get a compound.
Yeah, exactly.
We've talked about getting
a compound.
We'll underground, man. Underground. That's where the mole people do it. That's how we're going to do it.
We have totally awesome studio, man.
Because America.
Exactly.
It's the first thing I think of when I wake up, and it's the first thing I think of when I lay down, because America.
Because America.
Fuck yeah. All right. Cool.
John Bailey intro, take one.
Continue to pass the... I don't know what that word is.
It's the duchy. Pass. It's like duchy. From the song. Pass the duchy on the left-hand side. You don't know that song?
Sorry, I don't.
It's
old.
I
don't even music. Two women continue to pass the duchy on the left-hand side without starting digital jihad.